My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that he is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and the Father. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him in his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. First item, the subject of the test of fellowship. A few Sunday nights ago, I preached from the first chapter, 1 John. People have a problem with this passage of Scripture because they cannot differentiate in that chapter that he's talking about fellowship. And there is, of course, a relationship that is mentioned there. The relationship is that they are children, the children of God. And that relationship can never or never will be severed. But there is, of course, the fellowship that he speaks of also. Now there are ways, I believe, and John's going to tell us here in chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, there's ways that you can tell as to whether or not you're in fellowship. He makes some real strong statements. He makes some statements that emphatically cannot be denied. Some definitely strong statements here in 1 John chapter 2. Now, we can test fellowship. We can test it. The first way that you test fellowship is by the desire to live above sin. That's the first test of fellowship. Child of God can't live above sin, but they have the desire to. They don't want here tonight that's been born again that doesn't desire to live above sin. God given desire that he gives you. Another test of fellowship is obedience to his commands. These are true tests. As to our fellowship, the next test is love. And that is love for God's children, love for the brethren, love for those that are saved. Now I tell you, you can check your fellowship by these tests. Now I'm talking about people, and when I talk about fellowship, testing your fellowship, I'm talking about people that are born again believers. That have been saved by the grace of God. Keep in mind, the first is a desire to live above sin. The second one is to obey his commandments or to follow the word of God. And the third one is to love, and especially to love the brethren, especially those of the household of faith. He gives, and this is just sort of an outline, I'm going to get into this thing a bit more. He gives some reasons for writing this letter. He says, I write unto you, and then he says, because. And he tells them why that he is writing and some reasons for writing. One is, I write unto them because your sins are forgiven. And he even says, and because they're forgiven for his name's sake. But then he says, I write unto you because you have known him that is from the beginning. And then he writes unto them because he said that you have overcome the wicked one, that you overcome Satan. And he writes unto them because he said you have known the Father. And he writes unto them because he said you are strong and the word of God abideth in you. Now this quickly, there were some reasons why John gave for writing unto them. He talks about, also in this chapter, we're going to go into this detail, he talks about two loves that cannot coexist. They cannot. One is the love for the world, and the other is love for God. There's a problem that arises every time that these two, and he talks about these things of the world. He says, there's the lust of the flesh. He says, there's the lust of the eyes, and he said, there's the pride of life. And these are problems that we all encounter. He closes out the chapter warning against Antichrist that are on the scene at this present time. Now, what we must understand is this. The first test that God puts us, that comes to us, is a desire to live above sin. You got to remember what I said. A God-given desire to live above sin. John does not teach, neither does anybody else, that it is possible that any man can be totally free from sin. John doesn't teach that. Jude didn't, neither did Peter, neither did Apostle Paul. But what I'm talking about is, even though it is impossible for a person to live without sin, they can test their fellowship as to how in fellowship with God by the desire to live above sin. You ever, as a child of God, get in a condition to where your desire was not what it ought to be to live above sin? Definitely can happen, and it does happen to people. Now, to say that a person can live above sin and be totally free of sin would be to say that God's Word doesn't say what it says. I read this morning. Read John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, we're talking about people that have a relationship as a child of God, as children of God. And then he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even knowing that truth, there is still within us the God-given desire to live above sin and not the sin. We're in sad shape. And we do it like otherwise. Amen. Now, I believe that we find here that writing this epistle and writing to my little children, he makes it very clear as to who that he's writing to. He's writing to people that are saved by the grace of God. He's writing to people that are the children of God. And he's writing to them that they might not live in sin, that they might not indulge in the flesh, that they might not walk in disobedience, that they might not behave like the world of unregenerated men. This is why he's writing, and because it is the will of God for us not to live that way. Now, true believers will mourn their sins. They'll mourn their sins. You let a person that's really saved fall into sin, there'll come a time that they'll mourn because of those sins. And they'll also come to the place of confessing those sins. And then, by the grace of God, they'll come to the place of avoiding those sins. Talking about children. Talking about God's children. Now, I believe under no circumstances should a believer ever excuse sin. Should not make excuses for sin. Not try to justify it or permit it to go unjudged and unconfessed because simply that their sins were atoned for by Jesus Christ. Your sins were atoned for. And they are atoned for by Jesus Christ. Under no circumstances. We do have an advocate with the Father. We do have a propitiation. Under no circumstances does a believer excuse sin. Under no circumstances. And I tell you, sad. Listen, Jesus Christ, it says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Is the whole objective. And if any man sin, and John teaches that a man cannot live free of sin or cannot live above sin, He says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I tell you, when the Holy Spirit impresses that upon our heart, it ought to cause us even to have a greater desire not to sin. For it's by and safe. If I believe what you believe, I sin all I want to, that's true. That's true. Because it is, when God saves you, He gives you a desire. He gives you a God-given desire. And that desire, God-given desire, followed up by God's word, is to not sin. And to live above sin. Even though you're not capable of doing it, you cannot do it. But God gives you that desire that is there. So we see that he goes on and says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Now I thought about in this and what John was writing in this. Propitiation for our sins. We think of it in terms or of the payment or the sacrifice for our sins. In other words, to propitiate or to atone for or to pardon or to reconcile or to satisfy the divine justice of God. Our propitiation. The Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll notice with me there. In Hebrews chapter 9, and therein, verse 3. Let's go to verse 22 of Hebrews 9. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, what did he say in 1 John 4:10? He said this. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and there he propitiated our sins. And he just didn't die for the sins of the Jews. That's what he's saying here. Well, look what he said. He is a propitiation for our sins and not ours only. He did die for the Jews, but not for the Jews only. John speaking. That's who he's talking to. That day and that time, but also for the sins of the whole world. In other words, not only Jews, but also Gentiles. That doesn't mean every man without exception. It can't. Too many other scriptures that teach the opposite. You ever see people take one scripture and try to make a doctrine? And it does not harmonize with the rest of the Word of God. That doesn't mean every man that exception. It means here that he is the propitiation of the sin offering for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, for every believer of every generation, is what this is teaching here in this. John chapter 17, and therein, verse 9. Talking to Brother France, and we was talking about a preacher brother that we know, and he's a good man, and he can't for the life of him, lay hold of the doctrines of grace. And this is the verse that he... this is the verse he's hung up on. Right here. I mean, not this verse in John, but this verse here in 1 John 2. John 17, 9 says this. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. But for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. The scripture does not contradict itself. The problem is understanding the scripture and taking all of the scripture and bringing it together. So we see that He's not an advocate or a mediator for unbelievers. Who would dare say that? Yea, some woman. Neither is he a propitiation for them. It's an impossibility, according to the Word of God. It says, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He is a propitiation for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. So it's just like I mentioned time and time again, when Jesus said, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. There's a truth that we see is extended throughout the Word of God, which includes not only the Jews of salvation of the Jews, but also salvation of the Gentiles. So he is the propitiation of the sins of every believer. And then he said, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I believe that there's not only a God-given desire in every saved person to live above sin, but I believe there is a God-given desire in every saved person to keep his commandments, that is, to follow his word. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Why is it that you want to live above sin and not to live in sin? Because God saved you. Because he has provided a propitiation for you. Why is it that you want to keep his commandments and follow his word? It's because God saved you by his marvelous grace. We got fellowship. Y'all know this as well as I've been. I've been out of fellowship. And there's been times you've been out of fellowship. And when you're out of fellowship with the Lord, you don't have a real strong desire to live above sin. As a matter of fact, it's sort of, pardon the expression, it's sort of there on the back burner. It's there, but it's sort of on the back burner. And when you're out of fellowship with the Lord, you don't have a desire, a strong desire to keep God's word. That's why we act like we do and do the things that we do when we're out of fellowship with the Lord. I tell you, if anybody ever needs a revival, we need a revival in this church. We need a revival. We really should. Because I believe that we could put these tests to fellowship. We can go with these things that I'm preaching tonight and really test how much in fellowship that we really are with the Lord. Thought about, you know, you always think, and this is sort of a silly thought, I think. You think, well, you got to go somewhere to get away. It's sort of silly, isn't it? That's a silly thing. And we did. We got away to go to church. And you know, I wouldn't expect anything else, you know. If I had had a desire to, I sure tested my fellowship. Now you know how sometimes you can put that on the back burner? Well, there you test. If you can just push it off, or if you can put it aside, there's the test of your fellowship. I ain't saying you're not saved. We stop with that. Now, he doesn't make some strong statements about some people who are not saved. Okay. Some real strong statements. But you'll see here, and hereby, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Why is it that continually, since you've been saved, there may come a time of complacency in your life or apathy in your life. And then all of a sudden you can't stay that way. God works upon you and you say, I'm going to get back in there.
I need to be doing it because God's word says it.
And that's it. Throughout this earthly journey, believers struggle. And they struggle with inward sin, inward doubts, inward fears, inward trials. They struggle with attacks from Satan. And we often hear them say,
"Well, I'm gonna make it not."
Isaac Newton said one time, made it, he said, "'Tis a point I long to know that gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not?" But John says, "Hereby we do know that we know Him." For John says, "If we keep His commandments." I might not always keep every one of His commandments, but I'll tell you what, when I don't, I'm convicted of it, and if it is, if I know about it, the Holy Spirit brings it to my attention, and there is a desire in my heart to do it. And I know the only way that I'll be able to is by the grace of God and by the power of God, because I'm like Paul, the wretched man that I am. It goes into that detail of that. So I believe that we ought to discern by daily experience, and we ought to bear in mind, and we ought to practice the teachings of God's Word and the precepts of God's Word and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Matthew chapter 22, there in verse 37, down through verse 40, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." That's a whole lot, isn't it? As a matter of fact, that's every part of you. Said, "I gotta have some relief, better watch out." You know? You think that, you gotta have some relief. A relief from what? "This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Ain't no relief there, is there? "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So we see here that true believers love the words and love the commandments of the Lord. Have you ever, I have too. Do you ever sit and the Word of God just takes you, just dissects you piece by piece? And you come out and you say, "I really enjoyed that sermon." I know what you mean by that. The flesh didn't enjoy it, but God gave it to you, and it was exactly what you needed. And that's why you can say that. And the only reason you can say that is because you know that it's God's Word, and you know that you need to do what God says, and you know that you need to keep His commandments. You know that because He's given you a desire to do so. I believe, and read 13 chapters of the book of John, and notice what is being said here in this 13th chapter of John, verse 34 and 35, and Jesus says this. He says, now listen, he says, and of course, John says later, you know, old and new, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." There's times it's awful hard for us to love one another, especially people. There is. You ever seen somebody you say, "I just don't like them," and you ain't even talked to them? You've not said nothing to them, you've just seen them. And then when you get to know them, when you really get to know them, you say, "I was really couldn't. But I believe that this is the way that we manifest that we are not only saved, but that we're in fellowship with the Lord, is by loving one another and manifesting love one to another. The Word of God brings us out. So true believers love the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. They love it when it regards faith. They love it when it regards love. They love it when it regards righteousness, humility, or kindness, or giving, or witnessing. All of these things are part of our daily life. So this is what John said here. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. No saved person will ever have any doubts about their salvation serving the Lord. I mean serving the Lord. When a saved person is going to have some doubts in their minds, it's when they get out of fellowship, get out in the world, or get out in sin. But a person that keeps the commandments and follows the Word of God ain't going to have no problem with that. Listen to 1 John chapter 5. In verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is a strong statement that we see here. So the love of Christ and the words of Christ are the rule of our life. And they are the way of our life. He was talking downstairs, and he said, you know, today there's a lot of things that the world is using to really come down on people and charge people, and there's definitely something that they're going to use against Christians or against true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe it'll all probably hinge around. With churches, I think, individually, it may be a different thing, but I think with churches, it'll probably be IRS that will come down, you know, especially those that don't have a federal number, tax number, and that are not recognized by the government, you know, as a church. You know, you can have what you call an identification, an employee identification number. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a number that you give where they say you are a church. And there's a difference. And I thought about that, and you know, I've been to a lot of jails, and I ain't seen one I want to stay overnight in. I've seen some that rat holes look a lot better. But it may come today. If it ever comes the time, and we sit down, sir, if it ever comes the time that they say I can't hug my grandchild, I'm going to spend some time in jail. You know, child abuse, all this stuff going on there. I'm going to spend some time in jail. Because God will give you grace to it. Because I believe that we ought to obey God. And we ought to obey God's word. It's even gotten us to the place to where we're even skittish manifesting the love we ought to do one for another. In churches, the world and Satan is causing us to do this. So we see there is some tests that we have. But then, you know, he said here, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. But now look here. He that saith. There's a difference in knowing him, and there's a difference in saying you know him. He that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's as strong as you can get. That is a strong statement. I believe that we see here the person who just says, I know and am acquainted with the Lord, but don't have any love whatsoever for the teaching of God's word, doesn't have any love for his commandments, doesn't have any love for telling the truth, doesn't have any love for the truth of the gospel. what he's talking about. And there's people like that. But you're different. I pray that you're different. You know him. You love his word. You love his commandments. You love the gospel. You love the preaching of the word of God. But there are some people that say, you see, that if any man is in Christ, he's a new person. And that's where it all comes. What he is, he's a bond slave of Christ, and his whole life and desire is to become more deeply and personally acquainted with him. Turn back a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 2 and notice with me in verse 1 and 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says this: wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all even speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I look back and I think back, don't you? I think back at the Lord saved me. I had so much of what people call zeal. But it wasn't according to truth. And I see a lot today. They got more zeal and they know what to do with it. But the only problem is they need some truth to govern. And zeal that is not according to truth is not to God's glory. And not to God's honor. And I think about how God worked in my life. And you even think about how God worked with you and dealt with you. And how God has blessed you, and how God has brought you to the place to where now you have a deep and a personal desire to know more about the Lord, to be acquainted more with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then notice he goes from verse 3 to 4 and he says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Remember what he said in 1 John 5, 3. Hereby know we that we are in him. The way that we know that we're in him is because we love him. We love his word. And we not only love him and love his word, but we love his will. Not my will, but thy will be done. And we have to come to that so many times. But we not only love him and love his word and love his will, but we love his presence. We like to be in his presence. I'm so glad for the Lord to be in our services. I'm so thankful to come together with the people of God and the special presence of the Lord. I'd rather do that than anything else. You cannot separate Christ and his teaching or Christ and his commandments. You can't do it. Because he is the incarnate word. You cannot separate them. You can't love Christ and not love the word. You cannot love the word and not love Christ. And so we see, whoso keepeth his word, him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Then look what he says in verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Our example is Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, if you'll notice there with me in the Gospel of John, in verse 4 through 5 of that 15th chapter, he says, in this he said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Dependency upon him. Now I believe that he goes on, and I want to bring this out quickly here before that I close. In this 1 John chapter 2, now look what he says in verse 7, and then notice what he says in verse 8, and I want you to notice it. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. And you know what's no new thing? And that is, Christ is our advocate with the Father. He just got through saying that. He also, what is no new truth is, Christ is our atonement. He is our mercy seat. And another thing that's not new, those that know God love Him and they keep His word and they keep His commandments. That's not new. My, how that we see. We have no new gospel as far as these truths are concerned. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome, he said there in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. It's what the prophets preached. It's what the prophets knew. And so there's nothing new about it. It's God's grace in Christ. And it's always the same. It's always been the same. And it's never any different. Then John, in the Gospel of John, said in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, and therein verse 56 of the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, he said this, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now we're talking about here what he's saying. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Talking about the word, or the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, and there in verse 46 of that fifth chapter, listen to what he said. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses wrote of the Lord. John wrote of the Lord. Paul wrote of the Lord. So we see, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. But then verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is past, and the true light now shines. John speaks here of brotherly love and refers to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt. When he said, as we have read previously, the 13th chapter of the book of John, and there in verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. What a commandment that is placed up on us. Really, from the beginning of it, as far as formulated, our existence in Christ, and in that sense it's no new, but he's speaking of here of this brotherly love, or this commandment, even as Jesus said. It's newly explained by him. So what he's speaking of here, it's exemplified in Christ, in his love for us. It's shown to us, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's newly enforced here by argument and the Word of God. See this great truth. Now, he comes to another strong statement. Here it is. This is like a statement similar to the statement that's made in verse 4. It says this. He that saith he is in the light. Didn't say he that is in the light. And if you'll notice in verse 4, it said, he that saith I know him. It didn't say I know him. But he that saith, I know him. But in verse 9 it says, but he that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. It concerns me. This is something I hear really concerns me. When I see somebody with one breath tell me they're saved, and then with the second breath tell me they hate somebody, I mean to where they say, I could blow them away. I could erase them. That concerns me. Wouldn't you? It wouldn't concern me at all did I not know what God's Word says. But I know what God's Word says. I'm not talking about maybe in a fit of anger. I'm talking about maybe repeatedly today, tomorrow, next month, next year, do the same thing. Something like that. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. This is a strong statement. It's a person that claims they're illuminated by the Holy Spirit. If they have a true knowledge of the gospel, and they're saying that they walk in the light of fellowship and with a union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and hate his brother by creation, as we find, or even by regeneration. Someone that's saved, I'm not talking about the first name, but somebody that's saved is still, I believe the Word of God says, in a state of unregeneracy and is ignorant